Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this time, Lord God. God, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to speak to your people, Lord God. God, I ask that you would speak through me, Lord God, as well as speak to me, Lord God. God, help me to deliver this word as you gave it to me, Lord God. God, I ask that you would help me to decrease and you increase right now, Lord God. God, open our hearts to receive this word right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So he said the topic is devotion. So I began to just question, what is devotion? What does it look like? So look in the Webster's dictionary, it said loyalty. Some synonyms, it said consistent, dedicated, faithful. A lot of times we struggle with being dedicated. That's a hard one for us to swallow, because even when you're getting ready to apply for a job, they're looking to see, are you dedicated? Are you committed to something? Yeah. And a lot of times, like she said, we want to switch. Now they call us the microwave generation because we want it right now. And, oh, I don't like you, I'm going to switch to this. Oh, I don't like that, I'm going to switch to this. And we have to learn to be committed. We have to learn to be devoted. Yeah. So God gave me the topic of, where is your devotion? Where's your devotion? And if we think about it and we keep it real, some of our devotion is our family. Some of it's our job. Some of it's getting to that top dollar amount we want to reach. And we have to question, where is our devotion? What are we really devoted to? And does what we're devoted to, does it line up with God's word? And what does it look like to be devoted? So the first scripture he gave me was Psalm 63, verse 1. We'll start with verse 1. Psalm 63, starting at verse 1. It says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs to be in your... In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Keep going. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. We'll stop there. So we need to have that kind of heart to say, God, I'm hungry for you. I'm thirsty for your living word. I desire to be in your presence. When you're dedicated to God and the purpose he has given you, nothing's going to stop you from getting in his presence. Nothing's going to deter you from giving all that you got. When she came up here, she ministered and she gave all that she had. And you could tell she was a dancer, so she's holding back a little bit from doing all the dance moves she wants to do because she wanted to deliver her words correctly. But you could tell that she was giving all that she had. And that's what we need to do. A lot of times we shrink back because we're afraid who's watching or what's going to happen around us. But we need to, if we're dedicated to God, we need to give it all that we got, no matter who's around, no matter what's going on, because he sent his son, and his son didn't just go halfway and stop and say, you know what, I'm done. I ain't doing this. But he went all the way, got spit on, got kicked, got beat. But he did it for us because he loved us. How much do you love God? Are you willing to give all that you got for him? So I have been praying and just seeking God. I said, God, what do you want me to, how do you want me to dissect this? How do you want me to really break this down? And it reminded me of Paul. Paul went through some things, but he was dedicated to God. He knew that if God did it before, he would do it again. he knew the God he served. So we're going to go to Acts chapter 16. And we'll start with verse 22. This one's a long one, so bear with me. But let me tell you, there's some meat in here. And we're going to find out what God wants us to feed on today. Amen. Acts chapter 16, we'll start with verse 22. It says, then the multitude rose up. Hold on, let's stop real quick. So Paul, let me give you a little backstory. Paul had been preaching God's word. And there was a young lady that was following him and began to just mock him. You know, sometimes you have people that follow you and they just pick at you. Just pick at you. Just pick at you because they're trying to see what's going to break you. And Paul knew what it was. He knew it was the devil messing with him. So he rebuked her and put her in her place. And when he did that, then people began to come up against him. And so here we find in Acts 22, or 16, 22, it says, then the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates tore off their clothes, commanded them to be beaten with rods. Keep going. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison shook or began to shake, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosened. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from the sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do not harm yourself, for we are all here. Then he called for the light. Then he called for light and rain, and ran in and fell down at Paul and Silas, before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, and you and your household. And then they spoke a word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and his family were baptized. And now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. I'm going to break this down the way God gave it to me. And a lot of times when I read the word, I'll read it, and then sometimes I'll play it on the audio Bible. And it's like when I'm listening, it's like I'm seeing it as in movie form. So I'm going to break this down the way God gave it to me. So they had got beat, and they were in the cell. And because they knew who God was, they began to worship. They begin to pray. Sometimes you go through different things, and you've been knocked down, and you don't know what to do. And instead of them trying to, okay, maybe if we do this, we can jimmy the lock, and we can get out of here. Maybe we could do this, and we can figure out a way out. When they come and bring us our food, we can do something. No, they weren't thinking like that. They knew the God they served. So they said, let's just begin to pray. And as they begin to pray and they begin to sing, God reminded me of just thinking about it. When they begin to sing, there's power in us praising God. God begins to shift things in the atmosphere. We sung Shifting the Atmosphere. How many of you know that when you're going through something, and you don't know how to do what you're supposed to do, and you begin to lift your voice and you begin to sing, there begins to shift something in the atmosphere. But you have to be willing to open your mouth and begin to allow God to move. Allow him to reorder your steps. Allow him to do it how he wants to do it. You have to allow him to shift your focus. So they begin to worship. And a lot of times we hear people preaching about midnight hour. Yes, that is it. But I want to preach about what happened afterwards. and their devotion. When they begin to sing, God reminding me of just different songs I heard growing up. Maybe they sung Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Or maybe they sung Because of Who You Are, I Give You Glory. Because like I said, Paul went through some stuff. He was delivered before. So he knew if God did it back then, he could do it now. A lot of times we forget that God just brought me out of all this mess. So why can't he deliver me out of the situation I'm in right now? When you're dedicated to God, you know that God's going to make a way where there is no way. God reminded me of being a child and being in the car. My mom, we're driving and it's raining. We're on the freeway. We're in the car and the car begins to spin. But because she was devoted to God, because she knew who God was, she began to call upon the name Jesus. And she knew she couldn't even get any words out, but she knew the name Jesus. And at the mention of God's name, Jesus, that car was spinning and it began to stop in the right direction, in the right lane, without anyone hitting us. Because she knew the name Jesus. Sometimes in your midnight hour, you don't know what to do. And you're trying to scheme this plan. You're trying to put it together. But you need to just stop and say, Jesus, come deliver me, Jesus. Begin to move, Jesus. Sometimes you don't know what to say. But when you call upon that name, let me tell you, he begins to move. He begins to shift some things in the atmosphere. He begins to, I don't know about you, but when I call upon the name Jesus, there's just so much power in that name. In that name, the walls begin to break. The chains begin to break. So as they begin to just worship, they begin to worship, things begin to happen. And the chains fell off. And the doors flung open. God reminded me of also when you're in school, and you have like a test. The teacher tells you at the beginning of class, you're going to have a test. And we're like, man, we got to have a test. She tells you, but we're not going to do it right now. We got to do some other things and then we're going to get to the test. And so you're praying and you're hoping, Lord, please let her forget about this test. Please let her forget about this test. And then there's always that one person in class. Mrs. Smith, we were supposed to have a test today. And you're like, if you don't just close your mouth. That's what you will be wanting to say. And I picture this in my mind, like I said, after the doors have flung open and the chains were loosed. He said, don't kill yourself. We're all in here. And I'm sure the other man was like, why did you say anything? Just shh. He's about to kill himself and we could have been free. But Paul knew that he was there, not just so they could see the chains falling, not so they could just see the door being open, not so they could just see that, but he knew the God he served and he knew he was there for a purpose beyond that. That was supposed to happen so the jailer could see, okay, they could have left because the God they served. Let me find out who this God is. When you're devoted and God comes through and you continue to praise him, let me tell you, there's people watching. You're saying, oh, God, thank you for coming through. They want to see how you're responding when God comes through for you. They want to see how you're reacting when you've been brought through. But you have to know whose you are so you can know who you are, so you can have that dedication, so you can have that devotion, so you can be dedicated to God.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
I share this story often because it's so powerful. And every time God reminds me of it when I'm going through different things. There was a soldier in the army. And he knew his faith. He knew who he believed in. And he would pray and he would witness to the different people time after time after time. And they begin to mess with him and tease him and mock him. And so one day they figured up, we got a good plan. We're going to get him today. So they're laughing and joking, and he comes up and they say, you know what? We want you to move this Jeep. We want you to move it from here over to there. And he's like, well, why are you having me do this? He's like, we want you to move it. And while you're moving it, you might want to call upon your God to help you to move it. And he's like, oh, man, God, see, here they go again messing with me. And he gets in the Jeep and he moves it to where they want him to move it. And he gets out and he sees all of them on their faces crying. And he said, why are you guys crying? What's going on? They said, open the hood. There was no engine in that car. But because he knew who he served and he knew whose he was able to move that car because he said, God, I need you to help me. God, I need you to be with me. When you're dedicated, you know who you are. When you're dedicated, you know what you're supposed to do. When you're dedicated, nothing's going to stop you. Nothing's going to deter you. They may come and throw different things at you, but it's not going to make you back down. It's not going to make you back up. It's not going to make you look the other way. When you're dedicated, it doesn't matter. Because you're focused on God. You have to be focused on God. You have to remember what you're dedicated to. And I don't know about you, I'm dedicated to God. So though no one may go with me, I need to praise him. Even though I may feel alone, I need to praise him. I got saved when I was young, but when I first decided to take a stance for God, and begin to just live this word and realize that I needed a relationship with God. Different people at school, they noticed something was different and they would distance themselves. And then there was also some that I had to move away from. Not that I'm better than you, but I'm not going that way no more. I'm not doing that no more. And so I begin to just let them know that I'm not doing that anymore. And the different thing is I had to be confident. I had to be dedicated. I had to know whose I was. I had to have faith to know, okay, God, if it's just me and you, I'm okay with that. But God, I know you're going to bring godly friends around me. I have faith to know that you're going to help me through this. And so as you're dedicated to God, then he begins to add things to you. He begins to just show you which way to go. As you seek him, as you're dedicated, as you're devoted to him, and you begin to worship him in all that you have, then he can direct your path. So Paul knew what he was supposed to do. He knew it wasn't just about the doors coming open, but he knew he had to lead that jailer to know who God was. And he didn't want to just stop with that. We need to let his family know who his God was. And we should be so bold to know, to say, okay, God, I want to share you with everyone I come in contact with. Not saying, look at me, but look at the God in me. So if he did it for me, he could do it for you. A lot of times we get afraid and we're scared. What are they going to say? But maybe I don't have the words to say, but I had an encounter with God. One day he met me in my room after I had went through some mess. And I couldn't turn to anyone else. And when I began to cry out to God and just begin to worship him, that's how he met me. That's how I gave my life to Christ. And I couldn't help but to get in his presence. I couldn't help but to say, God, I need boldness. I can't do this. I need you to help me. And that's when I begin to pray, and instantly I have boldness while I was praying, asking him to come into my life, come into my heart, change me. And don't just stop with me, God. He began to give me more people to pray for, different family members to pray for, different situations to pray for. When you're dedicated to God, it doesn't matter who's around. God, I'm focusing on you. Different things may change in my life, but God, I'm focused on you. I'm planted in your word. And I know that you're gonna carry me through. A lot of times we get frustrated and we shrink back and we say, well, Maybe I'm running people away because I'm too churchy. You know what? I don't care. Either they're going to be with me, they're going to be my friends, or they're not. But I need to not back down and not say, oh, I don't need to witness to that person. I've been shy. And I have to admit that sometimes I'm like, God, you really want me to go say something? God, are you sure? We be questioning God. But we have to remember that if we allow ourselves to be a vessel that he works through, he'll give you exactly what you need to say. He'll help you along the way. God reminded me of a song when I was younger. We, being in the choir, we used to sing a lot of different songs, and I never knew why we were singing the song. Sometimes I was frustrated and I didn't want to sing the songs because your parents said, get in that choir, you're going to sing. And so we're singing these songs, and one of the songs said, through hard trials, persecution, tribulation, I am determined to walk with Jesus. And I used to be like, man, Lord, this is hard. And I'd be like, I don't even know if I really want to sing these words. So I'd be trying to mouth it and lip sync the songs. And God reminded me of that this week. That sometimes we go through life and we're lip syncing the songs, but we haven't allowed that to be our lifestyle. We haven't allowed ourselves to really be dedicated to God. You say, oh, I'm dedicated when I'm in these four walls, but let me get out there so it mess with me. That's not the right way. Are you really dedicated? Are you really dedicated? And God began to reveal to me that when you're dedicated, because you are going to go through some trials, you are going to go through some persecution, you are going to go through some tribulation, but you have to be determined. And when you're determined, nothing will stop you. Oh, I might fall down, but I'm going to dust myself off and see what I tripped over that made me fall. And I'm going to say, God, help me not to look back. Help me not to go that same way anymore. Help me to look to you for my help, for my guidance. Next scripture I want to go to is Isaiah 40, verse 28. It says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, never faints nor weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Keep going. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases their strength. Keep going. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Are you fainting today? You have to remember that when you know who you are, when you're dedicated to God, when you're devoted to God, nothing's going to stop me. Even though I may get tired, I may get fearful, but when I trust in the God I serve, when I know who I am, then I know whose I am, and then he gives me that willpower to keep going. Then he helps me to continue to complete the task at hand. Even though it's hard, even though I'm tired, he will give me the extra strength to continue to fight the fight of faith. He'll give me the extra continued strength to continue to press past what I may feel like, what the situation may look like. I can keep going. I can keep going. Another short scripture is John 30, or 3 and verse 30. It says, he must increase and I must decrease. Are you praying that on a daily basis? God, help me to decrease so that the spirit man within me will increase and I will do your will. A lot of times we try and do our own thing. God, I'm about to get this job right here, and it's going to be this income. I'm about to get it. And God said, no, that ain't for you. Oh, man. You say, God, that's the man for me. He look good. He got money. God said, no, that ain't the one for you. But you must ask God, help me to decrease and allow you to increase. Because when you let God increase within you, you're thinking is this job right here, and that's the money you about to make. God said, no, I called you higher than that. I called you to be promoted, and you're thinking it's this way. But you know what? The God I serve is bigger than anything I can handle. And he knows what I need. A lot of times we try and jump ahead and try and do things our own way. But we have to remember to focus on God. Focus on God. He gave me a quote. There's a quote that I found. It says, it's by Bear Bryant. It says, never quit. It's easiest to cop out in the world. Set a goal and don't quit until you attain it. And when you obtain it, set another goal and don't quit until you reach it. And never quit. We have to never quit. Never back down. Continue to stake your ground in God. Get planted in God. Because when you're planted in God, it's hard for you to get moved. When you're planted in God, on his word, really living his word. Not just reading it, but God, help me to live this word. When you're planted and you're actually living it and applying it on a daily basis, it's hard for you to get moved. The next one, next quote and last quote I have, it says, it's by Rashida Jones. It says, I know that there will be sickness and devastation and disappointments and heartache. It's a given. But what's not a given is the way you choose to get through it all. If you look hard enough, there's always a brighter side. And I want to flip that. If you look hard enough, you can look and you look to God, there's always a way out. We get stuck in a hard situation and we're too busy trying to figure out, looking at our hands, trying to figure out what to do. When you look up and you look to God, there's always a way out. There's always a way of escape. There's always a way to help you through. But when you have to be devoted and you have to look to God instead of trying to look to myself, instead of trying to do things my own way. But when I begin to be dedicated and devoted and trust in God, hey, he's going to help me through. We have to be devoted to God. So I'm going to ask you this question again. Where's your devotion? Examine yourself. Have you been devoted to some things that you shouldn't have been devoted to? Are you spending a little more time on that game than in your word? Are you spending a little more time on the internet trying to get likes than in your word? Are you spending a little more time with those friends who sometimes make you want to slip up? Are you spending a little more time on yourself because you want to be displayed as a good image instead of, God, help me? Because even though I put on a good front, there's some things broken inside. There's some empty places that I need you to fill. There's some hurt. And that's what's stopping me from being devoted to you. None of us are perfect. And a lot of us still have some scars, some hurt. And that's stopping us from really being devoted to God. And we need to allow ourselves to be able to release those things into God's hands so that we can truly be devoted to him. So we're going to open the altar call. Because none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. And maybe you're here and you say, you know, I've been not as devoted as I should be, not as committed as I should be, not having as much faith as I should have. And maybe you're here and you say, I just want God to give me a little more strength so that I can get planted in him, so that I can continue on the fight of faith, so that I can continue to live this word.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are, and be transformed by the Word of God.